blackness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio, Urban Family Talk. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, with Mr. Reed, Mr. Tross in the building, who I affectionately refer to as J Squared. So glad to be here with you for the remainder of this week. Starting tomorrow, Lord willing, we will take the show on the road. We will be broadcasting to you live from the Gaylord Opryland Center, Resort Center in Nashville, Tennessee, because we will be on location for the annual National Religious Broadcasters Conference. So I am looking forward to that. I've never been to the Opryland Resort Center, so this will be my first time swinging in Tennessee in that particular direction. So, but for today, we're going to jump on in and get it rolling. Well, I want to bring to your attention, amidst all of the conversation and the fallout from the tragic shooting in Parkland, Florida, there have been lots of conversations, lots of discussions about gun control and lots of all sort of things. And if you listen to this program, I immediately pointed us to the fact that, hey, when you start discussing those things, you can trim around the hedges, but you're not dealing with the core issue. Our country, over 240 years in existence, guns have always been around. The percentage of guns in its ratio to the number of American citizens has remained pretty much the same. 300 some odd million guns in the country, 320 million people in the country. But there's been a difference. What's different now? It's the heart of our people. And if you really want to track what's happening, it's ultimately a sin issue. Well, amidst all of the different responses you hear, we at the American Family Association, we are suggesting a response to you. If you go to afa.net, you'll see right at the top of the webpage where you'll see it says, sign this open letter to America's schools. American Family Association is asking every school, hear this, every school in the country to put this four-word statement on their school's marquee or school sign for 1 week. Those four words are, you shall not murder. You shall not murder. While everybody's talking about gun control and all these other things, we think it's important for our young people to be reminded that innocent human life is precious. Murder is against the law in every state. And these four words also emphasize that murder is morally wrong. We know schools use words to encourage or discourage all sorts of behavior. We have the Say No to Bullying campaigns and Don't Text and Drive campaigns and Say No to Drugs and all these other things. We think, we at the American Family Association, we think it's important to remind America's students that murder is wrong. Now, some of you are saying, well, duh, Abraham. I mean, that is certainly duh. Well, I guess not so much if you look at how much is going on in our schools. You shall not murder. Have it plastered on your school's marquee or your school sign. So there's several different points of action you can take to join us in this. First of all, we want you to add your name to our open letter. You can go on our website, afa.net, sign your name to our open letter. There are over 20,000 signers already. So you can add your name to it. Second, you can contact your local school administrators and ask them to put You Shall Not Murder on your school's marquee for a week. Third, what you can do is share this petition. Go to afa.net. Share the petition with your comments with the hashtag #6. That would be the number sign, capital N-U-M-B-E-R, 6. #6, where you can share it on social media. Next, we're asking you to tweet or post on social media a picture of your school with You Shall Not Murder on the school's marquee or on the school sign. And lastly, and most importantly, we're asking for you to pray for the families of the victims of the shooting in Florida, but as well as victims of school violence all across the country. We find that this would be a great opportunity to remind the country, starting with our school children, that murder is wrong. You shall not murder. Hashtag number 6, join our campaign. All right. I'm going to jump into Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 is what I want to share this morning to start the program. And this is going to frame the conversation that we're going to have on today's program. I'm going to jump right into it. Colossians chapter 2, this is the epistle from the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Colossae. And he begins in chapter 2 saying this, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea. And for all who have not seen me face to face." Let me pause. So Laodicea was about nine miles away from Colossae. The church at Colossae had a pretty tight relationship with the believers at Laodicea. So that is why Paul is making these statements. Verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance and of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, let me pause for a moment and say this. This, my friends, is one of the penultimate truths that has been, unfortunately, forfeited in our society. And when I said forfeited intentionally, not merely lost, because it's not as if we didn't have them. We just allowed them to be eroded away imperceptibly, seemingly, over time until all of a sudden, bam, we arrive at a place where we're literally facing a hostile takeover of our country, not from an external force, but from an internal subversive regressive force. Let me keep going because I don't want to get ahead of myself. Verse 4, Paul then says this to the church of Colossae. He says what? What is he saying? That in Jesus Christ is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He says this to the church at Colossae for this reason. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. So the King James says, I say this to you so that no man would be able to beguile you with enticing words. Now, let me pause for a second and reflect on something in this scripture. And I know I have to get to the rest of it, but I didn't have enough time to read it all at one time. So let me just get into it now. Paul is explaining this, and this should be very sobering for everybody listening to us. Paul is saying, I say this so that you, Christians at Colossae, which by extension means Christians all over the world, including Christians in America, I say this to you so that you may not be deluded with plausible arguments or beguiled with enticing words. What does that mean? That means that it's possible for Christians to be beguiled. It's possible for Christians to be deluded. And delusion is a little different. It's a slight nuanced difference between delusion and mere deception. Because delusion is deception that carries with it a euphoric element. There's a slight bit of euphoria that accompanies the delusion. So Paul is saying, I am reminding you of this, that in Christ is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge so that nobody can delude you, so that nobody can beguile you with plausible arguments or with enticing words. Every lie that's effective carries with it some modicum of truth, which is why it is enticing. What does James tell us about temptation? That we are led away of our own lust. And that lust, when it's conceived, it gives birth to sin. There is something within us that is drawn away. So when the beguiler or the deluder comes, they come with a little bit of what they know or they think we want to hear. And mix that with the full bore presentation of the lie. But Paul is saying, listen, don't forget, all wisdom, all knowledge is hidden in Christ. So he's setting you up for what he's about to say next. And so let's keep going. Verse 5, for though I'm absent in body, Yet I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Verse 6, therefore what? Because of the firmness of their faith, as well as the prospect of potential delusion, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. When Paul says so walk in him, he's not saying so go on down the street for a leisurely stroll. What Paul is saying, as you have received him by grace through faith, continue walking in him with the same awe of the revelation of your salvation, with the same reverence for the presence of the King, with the same understanding that in him is the fullness of the Godhead dwelling bodily, maintaining the same perspective of Christ that you had when you first came to know him. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. There's a secret to Thanksgiving that I think we have lost in our society. This, what Paul is explaining right here, is why I often remind those who listen to me, members of the church where I worship and fellowship, to remind you that worship is not an action. Worship is a lifestyle that corresponds to a heart condition. If you don't realize this, Paul is literally setting up that we will be able to fortify ourselves theologically, intellectually, philosophically, by maintaining a heart of thanksgiving. Why is that? Because in order to maintain the worshipful disposition, in order to live the lifestyle of thanksgiving, it requires you to consistently operate from the position that he is God and I am not. He is Savior and I am the saved. Without him, I am nothing. In him, I can do all things, but apart from him, I am nothing. By maintaining that consistent disposition, it will fortify us against the deception and, dare I say, the potential delusion that you are hot stuff. The central component of secular humanism is that man actually can ascend to the position of God. Now, they won't say it in those terms, but the focal point and the functional application of the ideology is that man is the end-all be-all. Let me keep going. Verse 8, and this is where he really lays it on the line. See to it. He's telling the church at Colossae, in light of all that I just read and talked about before, he says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and by empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental principles or the elemental spirits of this world, and not according to Christ. You can see, brothers and sisters, how by absenting ourselves from that thanksgiving position, from that worshipful disposition, how we make ourselves prime targets for the delusion. Because the only way we as believers, remember, Paul is telling this to believers, the only way we as believers can be taken captive in these types of philosophies is that we move away from the position that in Christ is all the fullness of wisdom and knowledge. To where we begin to think that there is something that is tangibly supreme in the human spirit, in the worldly reasoning, in the human understanding. And Paul says it is the responsibility. He charges the Christians at Colossae, which by extension means he charges us to see to it that we are not taken captive. You notice this is not something that the Lord does on our behalf. This is something we must see to. And he tells us the secret as to how we go about it is by remaining in that worshipful, humility-laden, dependent, perpetual, intentional dependency on the King. By staying there, we fortify ourselves against deception. Verse 9, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and all authority. Brothers and sisters, when we lose our awe for the Lord, when we lose our appreciation for the cross, we put ourselves in a position to be deluded. If you want to witness and want to understand how our culture has been turned on its head, it is because the American body politic has lost our awe for Jesus. So because we have lost our awe for Jesus, we become prime targets to be taken captive by humanistic philosophy. And if that is not where we are living right now, I don't know what else to tell you. But we can change it if we repent.
Kentucky school gets a failing grade. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. The Boone County School District in Kentucky was caught falsifying evidence to discriminate against the Christian after-school program called Good News Clubs. For the last 3 years, the school rejected and ignored repeated requests by Good News Clubs to use the school facilities. Yet it gave access to another nonprofit after-school program called Girls on the Run. When Liberty Council sent a letter demanding the school district end its discrimination, the school changed its website. Then it changed the name of the club and said it didn't have any affiliation with the nonprofit organization. A simple search of the district's website reveals over 420 hits with the nonprofit Girls on the Run. Many of those show the club's official logo. This deceit and discrimination against equal access will not be tolerated. Stay informed at Liberty Council's website at lc.org. That's lc.org.
You shall not murder. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. This is the sixth commandment of the Ten Commandments. You shall not murder. We are asking schools all over America to put this on their marquees, put this on their signs out in front of their school for 1 week to remind America's students that innocent life is precious. Help us spread the word about this campaign to your friends and family. Please go to our website, afa.net, and sign our open letter to America's schools. We need to proclaim this message, you shall not murder, across the land. Why? Because gun control alone will not solve matters of the heart. We need our young people to understand that murder is a violation of God's law, and also it's a violation of the laws all across this land. So help us. Go to afa.net and spread the word.
Share the message that Jesus changes lives. One way to proclaim this amazing news is by wearing and sharing the colorful American Family Association's He Lives Easter buttons. If you're a business owner or pastor, order several to give away. We encourage you to wear a button yourself and share the rest with others so that they too can proclaim this life-changing message. The button fits in your pocket and it's easy to share. They're sold in packs of 10, so get your AFA Easter buttons at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
It says, and do the first works. What is that? Go back and begin by faith to obediently do what you did when you were first saved that you're not doing anymore.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Escape the Coming Night, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here in American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. Abraham Hamilton III here with my brethren, Jay Tross, Jeff Reed. We're all together. Well, I was excited to know that Mark Levin's Sunday television show on the Fox News Channel started this past Sunday. It's called Life, Liberty, and Levin. And the first guest that he had on the program was Dr. Walter Williams, the famed economist who has written a lot, taught a lot. He's a tenured professor of economics at George Mason University. He's actually been a guest on the Hamilton Corners program, which we're so grateful to have him on when he was on. We'll definitely plan to have him back on the program. But I have to tell you that I enjoyed hearing the conversation he had with Mark Levin, which really, I'll say this, and I'm gonna share some audio with you. The scripture I began with in Colossians chapter 2, and just laying out the fact that the fertile ground, if you will, for the deception and for Christians, that's the thing, for Christians to be taken captive. And the captivation wasn't a physical captivation, but it really was a mental, a philosophical captivation. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says that we cast down vain imagination. The Greek word there, it literally means ideas, ideology. We reject and we cast down vain imagination. In Colossians, the source of captivation and delusion came from relying on human principles and human philosophies that were communicated with plausible arguments or with enticing, fine-sounding words. We are at the place where argument has been superseded and replaced with emotion. So sufficiently and successfully to where literally emotion in our day becomes policy. Regardless of the soundness or the lack thereof of the resulting policy. So it was a refreshing and welcome break from the lunacy and the foolishness that has run over our country. Because if you were to just step back for a moment and take an objective observation about the most successful and the most entrenched understandings in our culture, you would have to say, man, this is a country that's foreign to what the founders created. This is a country that's foreign to what many of our parents and grandparents lived in and expected. And so I wanted to share a little bit of the conversation with you that Mark Levin had with Walter Williams, one of the greatest thinkers, in my opinion, of our time, who is a treasure that we have to, in my opinion, take advantage of while we can, because the barbarians are at the gate. Literally, the barbarians are at the gate. He's an economist, but the most popular form of economics in our country is Keynesian economics, which is steeped in a worldview of secular humanism and Marxism, to where, for example, here is one of the touchstones of Keynesian economics, where John Maynard Keynes literally espoused fiat currency and the formation of a central bank for the express purposes of normalizing inflation. Because through inflation, we have a system of consistent yet hardly recognizable theft of private wealth by a government, but nobody will be able to notice it because it will be normalized in the form of inflation. That's John Maynard Keynes, let alone to mention his personal sexual deviancy and his antipathy for mankind. But his economic philosophy is what is taught all over the country in our business schools, which is where we get the notion of quantitative easing from. It comes from John Maynard Keynes. But many of us, including myself, I had to study that. I'm not old enough to know that on my own, but doing research and other things, studying it. But there are lots of people who don't have the freedom or the ability or the time to do what I've done, to kind of hunt it out, search it out. And we just, when we get our annual 3% cost of living raises all the time, not realizing that the reason why that exists is because we have become a country that just accepts inflation as if it's a norm. So that's just an example. But I wanted to share this audio from the conversation between Walter Williams, Dr. Walter Williams, and Mark Levin. I'm going to start with clip number 3, Jay, if you would, please play.
Let's start with fundamentals. Let's start with the basics. How would you define liberty?
Well, I defined it as people being able to engage in peaceable, voluntary exchange without interference by others. And typically, down through mankind's history, liberty is not the normal state of affairs. That is, throughout mankind's history, he's been subject to arbitrary abuse and control by others. And so the amount of liberties that Americans have, and perhaps Western Europe as well, the amount of it is relatively rare in humankind. And I think that the danger that we face is that some historian, maybe 200 years from now, he might be writing, he says, well, look, the normal state of affairs has been arbitrary abuse and control by others. And there's this little tiny curiosity where a relatively few people had a large amount of liberty for a short amount of time, but it all went back to the normal state of affairs. That is arbitrary abuse and control by others.
Now, did you hear that? Did you hear that? These are the types of conversations that used to be commonplace in the United States of America. These are the types of conversations between people, especially discussing economics, where the conversation would begin with the basic principle and the basic understanding that the liberty that we enjoy in the United States of America and Western civilization as well, these are relatively rare in all of the world. There, in our day, we have people who take great offense and great umbrage at the suggestion of American exceptionalism. But if you stop for one moment and you take an objective observation of nations all over the world throughout human history, you would have no option but to conclude that the types of liberty that we enjoy in America is unique among the nations of the world. But in our country, especially in the schools, the government indoctrination complexes, and in the government indoctrination complexes in higher education, we don't have these types of conversations. We begin, and listen, no country is perfect. America is by far not imperfect. It's imperfect by far. But its imperfections do not invalidate the fact that it is unique in the sorts of liberty that its citizens get to enjoy. And Dr. Williams postulated the idea that his concern, that should be concerning for all of us, is that when the annals of history are written, the default condition for mankind is tyranny in the absence of freedom. Then there was this one little bitty blip on the radar of nation's history where these few people, for this short moment, they dared to venture off into this experiment into liberty. But, you know, they eventually fell back down to the mean. And again, if you are being an objective observer of what's happening in our country, you have no choice but to recognize that what Dr. Williams is saying is absolutely right. Is absolutely right. I want to play a little bit more audio from him. If you go to number clip 4, please.
Do you think liberty has the seeds of its own demise, that there's a paradox because people who don't support liberty or who are unwitting about liberty can still use liberty to destroy liberty?
Oh, that's absolutely right. That is, they can use liberty to destroy liberty. They can use if you look at totalitarians around the world, they always start out, they are for free speech. That is because they need free speech to get their foot in the door. But after their foot is in the door, they want to eliminate free speech. And you see this all over the country. You'll see this all over the world. And we're beginning to see it in the United States. In Berkeley, that was the seed of the free speech movement. But now at Berkeley, they don't want any free speech whatsoever. So again, I think that we have to be very, very concerned because we're losing our liberty. And if you ask the question, which way are we moving, tiny steps at a time, are we headed towards more personal liberty or towards more government control over our lives? It'd have to be unambiguously the latter.
And he's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. If you ask the question whether or not our nation is moving closer towards greater liberty or away from that, you have to conclude we're moving away. But I want to dig a little bit deeper, because the thing that was left out of the conversation, in my opinion, with Dr. Williams and Mark Levin is the why. Why is America unique amongst the nations of the world in all of human history? Why has the pursuit and the experiment in liberty in America, why has that been different from the rest of the world? And I'll tell you, I believe it's in the scripture we just read in Colossians chapter 2. Paul, writing by inspiration of the Spirit of God, is in pleading with the Colossian believers to fortify themselves against delusion. Remember, I said it earlier, delusion is deception with a tinge of euphoric component to it. Listen to what Dr. Williams said, that tyrants, despots all the world over, they have taken advantage of the presentation of the pursuit of things like free speech. Fidel Castro in Cuba, the thing that he appealed to was a desire for the Cubans to be liberated from the previous oppression of the government preceding him. and how the previous government would try to stamp down on free speech. The same thing happened in Nicaragua with the Batista regime and all these other places. They make themselves a champion of the people and appeal to this thing on the inside that aches for some freedom, only to then procure that position of authority and then slam the door on freedom behind them. We're witnessing the same thing happen in America right now. To where, his example, Berkeley, the seedbed of the free speech movement in America, now being one of the chief places to shut down free speech. Why is that? Because I believe, and this is just my belief, this is what the Bible teaches, that humankind has this thing in our hearts called the sin nature. The sin nature. That is why people have this penchant to try to aggrandize themselves at the expense of other people. This is why I said before, regressives have no problem with money changing hands. They just don't want it to happen privately. Why? Because they're out of the control business. The thing that has driven America to be unique among the world's nations is because our pursuits of freedom were framed within the context of understanding liberty comes from a different source. Prior to the American experiment, human beings the world over believed that rights were the product of governments, the product of monarchs, the product of kings and queens, and they are willing and arbitrary bequests of such liberties. But when you come to America, oh, there was a difference. Where you have things like the First Amendment and the Second Amendment, where there was recognized understanding by our forefathers enshrined in the constitutions that these things are self-evident that human beings, by the very nature of being bearers of the imago Dei, they have certain inalienable rights, which means people have no legitimate authority to take them away. This is why we can rightly say our Second Amendment rights don't come from the government. The Second Amendment rights that we have, they come from God. Government exists for one reason and one reason only, to protect the things that are God-given. But if you ask the question, if I was a part of the conversation with Mark Levin and Dr. Walter Williams, I would have said, why do you gentlemen think that America now finds itself floating back down to that human mean of leaning towards less freedom, to where you have people, as Dr. Williams explained it, subjecting ourselves to arbitrary abuse and control? And if they didn't have an answer, I would say, I'll tell you why. Because any people that rejects the Lord and the wisdom that flows from the lifestyle of worship, the consistent and perpetual recognition that our rights come from God, we have no choice. If our focus is not God, we have no choice then to become focused on man. And that may seem like an oversimplification to many of you, but think about what Paul said in Colossians 2. See to it that no one take you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition and the elemental or basic principles of this world. To bring it all down to the lowest common denominator, there are really only two ways to do life. It's either according to God's word or to man's word. I'll say it to you the way that the Lord said through Joshua, I present before you life and death. Now, I will encourage you to choose life and make that encouragement with the full bank of the evidence that has been demonstrated with the historical leaning on the Judeo-Christian ethic and a biblical worldview as applied to contemporary society, and look at what freedom and wealth and prosperity and how people have been able to transition from being dirt poor and to be made wealthy in this country. Why do people risk their very lives just to arrive on our shores having nothing but the clothes on their back, if they even have that, to get here to thrive? Why is that? Because where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. Now, that might sound preachy to you, but I would suggest to you that that is not only a sermon to be preached, but it is sound economic philosophy. It is sound interpersonal relationship philosophy. It is sound civil rights philosophy. It is sound political argument. It is sound understanding for building a framework of a just and equitable society. But the absent is true. Where the Spirit is not Lord, where the Lord is no longer reigning, the only option to result is the captivity of mankind. And just as it was in the book of Genesis, you put man who rejects the leadership of the Lord in the perfect environment that is the garden, he'll start making fig leaves. You put four people on the earth and one rejects the Lord, you introduce murder into the family. the very thing that we have seen demonstrated in the scriptures planning right before our very eyes. The leaning away from freedom in our country corresponds to the leaning away from the Lord.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We still have seats available for our September tours of Washington, D.C. and Williamsburg. Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, that's one tour. And then Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, that is a separate tour. Now, we put them back-to-back so you can do both. If you're flying in from Texas or Montana or California or wherever you may be coming from, so that you can do those tours back-to-back with us if that's something you so choose to do. Now, Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be with us all along the way as our historian. Stephen will add context, he'll answer questions, talk about the people, the places, the events that make up our early American history. So for more information on this Spiritual Heritage Tour, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. SpiritualHeritageTours.com for the September tour information.
In September of last year, you and I were glued to our TV sets as we watched Hurricane Harvey wreak havoc in Texas. Many communities suffered great damage. In fact, almost 400,000 families had their homes flooded. 80% of them, no insurance, nowhere to turn. That's where you and I get a chance to be the hands and feet of Jesus. 8 Days of Hope, you know, we've been around for 12 years, but God has called us to bring the largest group of volunteers ever to Southeast Houston. So we're going to do a back-to-back trip. 8 Days of Hope 14 and 8 Days of Hope 15, literally back-to-back. You're going to get a chance to serve with thousands of people from all over the world. We're looking for skilled professionals, people who know how to work with their hands, and maybe they do this for a living. We're also looking for people that are less skilled, but are still looking to be a part of something way bigger than just themselves. You don't have to come for all 2 weeks. You can come for as little as 3 days. We provide the food and lodging, and it's free. Go to 8daysofhope.com for more information. 8daysofhope.com. 8daysofhope.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. There was a time when the Olympics was all about the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. But these days, there's an added component to the Olympic Games, making a political statement. Adam Rippon and Gus Kenworthy became household names, media superstars, even though neither man won an individual medal. Instead, they were celebrated for something else. Yahoo Sports posted a story titled, "How Adam Rippon Won the 2018 Olympics Without Even Winning a Gold Medal." The New York Times ran a story gushing about how Gus Kenworthy won without making the podium. Both men spent a good portion of the Olympic experience attacking President Trump and Vice President Mike Pence, and most recently, Ivanka Trump. Kenworthy posted a snarky message demanding to know why Ivanka was even at the Olympics. An ironic question considering he finished 12th in his race. The more appropriate question, what was Gus Kenworthy doing at the Olympics? I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here in American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. Man, that was funny from Todd on that one. But what was Gus doing at the Olympics? Now, that is a great question. A great question. I want to share with you a little bit. Now, most of you are familiar with the, I don't even know what to call it, that show that was the CNN town hall concerning the Parkland, Florida shooting, where Dana Loesch and, is it Loesch or Loesch? Dana Loesch, that's how I've been pronouncing it, and Marco Rubio were subjecting themselves to the ire of, I would say, traumatized, angry, but nevertheless disrespectful teenagers. Which I don't think that is a helpful display ever. I agree with listening to people, but disrespect should never be allowed, regardless of what the scenario may be, especially when you have people who are not the primary participants, whatever occurred. But amongst many things, following that interview, and there's so much, Dana Loesch then spoke at CPAC, and I've shared some of the issues I had with CPAC. Conservative is not synonymous with Republican. Most of you know that. Then she then went back to CNN, but she said something during her CPAC speech that I just wanted to present to you for consideration in the event that you hadn't heard it. And for some, they were very provocative statements, but I think they're worthy of sharing here in the program. So I want you to play this, Jason. I think it's clip number one. Yes, clip one. This is a portion of Dana Loesch's speech at CPAC.
Many in legacy media love mass shootings. You guys love it. Now, I'm not saying that you love the tragedy, but I am saying that you love the ratings. Crying white mothers are ratings gold to you and many in the legacy media in the back. And notice I said crying white mothers because there are thousands of grieving black mothers in Chicago every weekend, and you don't see town halls for them, do you? Where's the CNN town hall for Chicago? Where's the CNN town hall for sanctuary cities? Where was the CNN town hall for Jameel Shaw Sr., whose son was murdered by someone who illegally entered the country and had been deported repeatedly? Where was his voice? Where was the voice of those junior ROTC members last night, CNN?
Now, when you hear her words, and I know for many, that's a provocative statement that she made. When she said, and I'll put it in my own vernacular, because, you know, you heard me say, we're all shades of brown. Some have more melanin, some have less, but it's the same substance. The additional quantity creates a more intense color. But leaving that aside, she said that the legacy media loves mass shootings. Not the events and the tragedy that occurs when the victims are killed, unfortunately, but the ratings that they get as a result. And that the ratings, when you show less mothers with less melanin in their skin crying, is ratings gold. But where was the town hall meetings? And I'll tell you, we're going to take calls. So if you want to be a part of the program, the number to call is 888-589-8840. We're ready to take your calls. 888-589-8840. Dana Loesch made the statement that you like when lighter skinned moms are crying. But where were, meaning the legacy media, who I call the talking snake media, thank you, Brian Fisher, where was the town halls? Where are the town hall meetings on CNN for the thousands of mothers in Chicago? Where are the town hall meetings for the thousands of mothers in New Orleans and Baltimore and Oakland and all over the country? We don't see them. We don't see them. Why is that? Why is that? I'll tell you. This is just one man's opinion. But I'd like to see you try to refute it. Because people that are given to regressive ideology, and I would add in the talking snake media, who it's given to regressive propaganda, their issue is not with death and innocent life being lost. Their concern is location. There's really not much umbrage when people lose their lives. Innocent human beings are being slaughtered. They don't care. Generally speaking, not every single person, but generally speaking, what they care about is location. Remember the words from Senator Kamala Harris? And I wrote down the quote so I can say it properly. We cannot live in a country with any level of pride when our babies are being slaughtered. She doesn't mean that generally and completely. What she means, being slaughtered at a school where we don't expect it to happen. That's what she means. Because if she had concerns about babies being slaughtered, she wouldn't be such an ardent supporter of abortion, which is a euphemism that we probably should stop using. She probably wouldn't be such an ardent supporter of baby murder. If CNN was so concerned with moms who are crying because their children have been murdered, why has there not been a CNN town hall in Chicago? Why was there no CNN town hall for Jameel Shaw? And some of you are saying, Jameel Shaw, who is that? Exactly. Why don't we know Jameel Shaw's name? Why is Jameel Shaw a question mark for us? Jameel Shaw was a teenage football player who was gunned down in Arlington Heights in Los Angeles, California. How was he gunned down? He was gunned down by an illegal alien who had been arrested but released in less than 24 hours because the Los Angeles Police Department refused to notify ICE. Stop me if you heard this before. And within less than 24 hours, this murderous gangster from Mexico, and I won't say his name because I won't give any honor or any acknowledgement to these murderers, killed this boy. Didn't hear a peep. You want to know why? I'll tell you why I think you didn't hear a peep. Because it happened while former President Barack Obama was in office. The same one who unconstitutionally used his pen and his phone to enact the DACA program. Because CNN, no. They don't want to be bothered with a town hall for Jameel Shaw's parents, for Jameel Shaw Sr., because it cuts against their propaganda angle. So, for regressive ideology, the issue is not the issue. The issue is always the movement. And for the movement, it requires location, location, location. No town halls for Jameel Shaw. No calls for gun control for Jameel Shaw. None for Kate Steinle. No town halls for sanctuary cities. And to add insult to injury, the state of California now, that is home to Kate Steinle, that is home to Jameel Shaw, that is home to so many others, they have declared themselves a sanctuary state. Didn't see a town hall for that. Didn't see a town hall for that. Dana Loesch was spot on with what she said. She was spot on. But it wasn't merely about the ratings, I would add to Dana's commentary. And yes, she's right, it is ratings gold for them. But it's not merely about the ratings. For them, it is about the agenda. The agenda. Because if you give too much attention to Jameel Shaw, you just may have some of the people who you think are in your camp start to realize that the camp that you're creating is not really for them. And if you want to get into what I'm talking about, go and look up who Jameel Shaw is for yourself. You see, it doesn't fit the narrative. It doesn't fit the narrative. But we'll take calls. If you want to be a part of the program, you call 888-589-8840. The number to call again is 888-589-8840. We'll go first to the great state of Texas where Lisa is on the phone. Lisa, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Abraham. I just really appreciate you kind of expounding on what Dr. Williams had to say and explaining that. I have a degree from the University of Texas in speech communication, 3.5 GPA. I never once had an economics class in high school, in college. In my 30s, I had to finally figure out how to balance my checkbook.
Wow.
It's not being taught, so nobody understands all these issues with Keynesian economics.
You're absolutely right, Lisa. You're absolutely right. So let me ask you this question. If you go through, you matriculate all the way through elementary school, middle school, high school program, graduate with an honors degree from one of the best universities in our nation and never take an economics course, do you think you are set up to be taken captive by deceptive economic philosophy?
Absolutely. Especially combined with everything else they're teaching, the other subjects.
Absolutely right. Thank you, Lisa, so much for your call, for your comments. She's absolutely right, guys. And here's the thing. And I know we have multiple generations of people who listen to this program. Some of you heard what she said and you say, what? She never took an economics course? Listen, that is happening all over the country where you have scores of people that are going through primary, secondary education, graduating from college, and having to figure out how to balance a checkbook once they're in their late 20s, 30s, 40s sometimes. Because when you have a populace that is intentionally made ignorant, you become ripe for the deception. Which is why in those scenarios, even without the formal education in economics, in a school environment, I would encourage you to seek out the Word of God. The Word of God gives you insights like the borrower is a slave to the lender. Insights like unjust scales are an abomination to him. But when you have, and this is the thing, this is a part of the diabolical nature of it, because they will move you through these vestiges of academia and then will pronounce you as educated, will reward you with a diploma and say that you are educated amongst the masses of our nation when they know you don't have the foundations that are necessary to navigate. And so you then have that affirmation and that human reinforcement that says, ooh, I'm educated, even though you don't even know what you don't know. Which is why my encouragement to roll back down to the basics. Because the wonderful thing about our Lord, it says he makes wise the simple, which is why it's incumbent upon all of us to come to the Lord and put ourselves in the position of humility and simplicity, and he will make us wise. Back to the phone lines. We go next to Florida, where Stephen is on the line. Stephen, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed.
I am blessed. I am a contractor from Texas. I'm here in Florida for a couple of weeks. I'm going to my radio channels on my rental car, and I hear you, and I stopped because I like a honest conversation amongst Americans about issues. And I'm listening, and I'm really in love with what you're saying. Here's my point. I'm in 100% in agreement. What America needs to do, let's go back in time. Think about what our parents and our grandparents told our parents, because that's how we pass wisdom along and don't make the same mistakes. Remember that phrase, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, mm-hmm. waddles like a duck, mm-hmm. it's a duck.
That's right.
The people are getting so full today because they're being steered. They're being steered just like cattle. Good example. We can do this all day long about everything that's been happening in the nation. When CNN had that situation, they had it on stage. We had, let's have a talk. Let's mm-hmm. have a conversation. I'm all for that. Let's have a real one, though.
Yes.
Why was there not one single student out of the school that said, hey, me and my dad, we go hunting. And you know what? I think it's about time that we protect our schools with either more policemen or that comment, that mindset was nowhere to be found. So what does that make you think? It makes you think there is a hidden agenda there. That's mm-hmm. what I'm going about, walking like a duck, talking like a duck.
Thank you, Stephen. You're absolutely right. And you know it. It's a one-sided agenda. And the other component is, if you do have an opposite opinion, you are socially ostracized and literally intimidated into silence. Where groupthink, the perpetual groupthink that manifests itself in adulthood, it's cultivated in these government indoctrination centers. Why do you think most adults are afraid to go against the grain? Because they learn it in schools. If you stand out too much, you're the weirdo. You're the crazy person. You're the one who needs to wear the dunce hat. Well, you don't champion individuality and original thought processes and a willingness to investigate things. If you don't walk lock and step with the status quo, you are treated as a pariah. Back to the phone lines. We go next to Massachusetts, where Vernon is on the line. Vernon, you have 15 seconds. We're at the end of the program. Go right ahead.
Okay. Mr. Hamilton?
Yes, sir.
You're the best. Okay. And thank God for you. Now, simple comment. The enemy's MO from the beginning: deceive, steal, kill, destroy.
That's right.
If we look at everything through that prism, we see all the stuff that's happening is based on the elimination of the human race, because the enemy hates the human race. So wherever you go, death and destruction, it's because he hates the human race. And Christ said he came to give us life and to give it more abundantly.
Vernon, you are absolutely right. And your identification of the enemy's MO to steal, kill, and destroy brings us full circle to where we started the program with. If you want to fortify yourself against captivity, deception, and delusion, we must reorient ourselves to the life-giving virtue of Jesus Christ.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.